Earlier this year, I decided to give HIMS a try in order to shed some weight I've been struggling to get off for the last 6 years, and I'm so glad I did. If you want to know what's really worth your time when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get weight loss by HIMS. HIMS offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now include Wegovy pill and Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way. With Wegovy at HIMS, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, so success is within reach. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles needed, which is really kind of nice. Through HIMS, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if the treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. HIMS makes hitting your goals seamless by offering 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition choices like recipes, meals, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, HIMS makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits your world and your wallet. If eligible, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as long as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/40klore to get personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/40klore. hims.com/40klore. Weight loss by HIMS is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit HIMS.com. Earlier this year, I decided to upgrade my wardrobe. After well over a decade of dressing in stuffy business suits everywhere I went, I decided to upgrade into a more smart, casual approach at work. The problem was I wanted a more comfortable and relaxed look, but had no idea how to make it. And that's where Quince came in. Quince has now become my go-to. The fits are clean, the fabrics feel nice, and everything just works without needing to overthink it. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for spring. Think 100% European linen shorts and shirts from $34, lightweight, breathable, and comfortable, but still look put together. And 100% Pima cotton tees with a softness that has to be felt. Their pants also hit with that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished enough to wear pretty much everywhere. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands, because Quince works directly with ethical factories to cut out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/40klore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/40klore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/40klore.
Welcome to the 40K Lore Cast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we're getting to the end and finalizing our telling of the War of Rex, because it's been going on for a while, a lot longer than the Imperium wanted.
This is a cluster. I mean, we're getting to the end, but like, it is a great story. Let's talk about that. I want to just a little bit. It's a great story. So much stuff happens. And at the end, you get possibly the most unfulfilling ending of all time.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is the entire story was written to sell a bunch of models that GW has since ruled are illegal. And at the time, almost every tournament ruled was illegal because, man, were they good.
Yeah, true story.
You're not wrong. 40K Lorecast. Yeah, 40K Lorecast, a weekly show focusing on the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please continue to follow and comment. It helps us out a lot and it doesn't take much time out of your day. So, cool. If you like us, check out our YouTube channel for our bi-monthly Q&A sessions and some other content coming soon. Also, if you like this show, check out our other show, The History of 40K, where we talk about the history of the game on the tabletop. Things like, right now we're doing a lot of coverage of Adepticon and tournaments. It's kind of fun. If you guys never played back then, hear us talk about what it was like playing back in the day. Yay, terrain rules or lack thereof. Or, if you like the sound of my voice, check out my other show, Retro Recall, where I'm talking about video games from the 80s. And some of them are better than others. If you like us and you do want to help us out, though, we have two great ways you can support us. One, buy our merchandise. A lot of people apparently did and walked up to us at Adepticon wearing it, which was super cool. Awesome. Link in the show notes to that. It was super awesome.
I did love it. I was just so happy to see it. This is also something I fought for so much with you on that stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm like, no one would want our merchandise. I was wrong. But the other way you can help us out is you can join our Patreon and just give us money. It's a great way for us to upgrade our equipment, help us kind of go more places to do more things. So thank you all for doing that. Patreon, really simple. $4.99 a month. You get this show and History of 40K ad-free, or 3.95 Swiss francs. We're going there today. Fun thing about Switzerland, I know I always knew about Pale Face Swiss, but recently Zonor, holy is Zonor good. Oh, if you don't know who that is, oh, go to Spotify and look up Zonor, X-O-N-O-R. And, or if you are Brad Nip migraines, don't do that. It's heavy.
Yeah, you're.
It's thrash metal.
Yeah,
it's thrash metal.
I'm
and it's really, really good thrash metal. All right, but. Today, we're going to cover the town of Thun, because honestly, why not? Thun, it's a little south and east of Bern. It's an ancient town, having first been settled in the Neolithic Age. It became a part of the Roman Legion, because which is where the territory got its name from, which is a Celtic phrase for a fortified town. And Thun has this kind of continued that tradition. And today, it hosts the main military academy of Switzerland. But that's not why you go to Thun. Well, I guess if you're Swiss, you are, because you have to join the military academy. So for them, that's why you go there. But for the rest of us, the reason you go there is because you like being outdoors and doing fun stuff. This is a part of the region in Switzerland that's kind of amazing for burning energy. It sits at the base of the Alps. So you have hiking if it's warm out, or cold if you're a psychopath, skiing, insane views. But the Swiss are, by the way, also a little bit nutty when it comes to stuff, because you've got paragliding, which Interlaken's better, but Interlaken's boring, and it's close enough to Interlaken. You have river surfing. I'm one of the people who gets bored on vacations easily, so places like this are great because I can just go off and do stuff and hike up a mountain and get one hell of a view of the sun setting over the Alps coming into the lakes. Same way Lucerne's really beautiful. Most of Switzerland's pretty, and they have really good cheese. So there you go.
It's like something from a fantasy setting. So like, yeah. I was expecting you to go parasailing. Also, the Temple of Elemental Evil's entrance is actually in Thun. Yeah.
I'll be honest. It's basically the inverse of places you should go, because everything you have to do in Thun involves going up.
I am perfectly fine, and I'm going to live forever.
It's just, I'm just saying, you're not built for going up. You're very, like I said, it's, you're good at flat surfaces.
Dwarves are natural sprinters, John.
Yes, but not climbers. It's all right. It's just, I need so many more handholds. Anyway, lastly, as always, join our Discord, where you can come in and tell me all the things I get wrong, or tell me what country to cover next, which is why we did Switzerland. Discord's been great recently. Great place to interact, especially for those who don't know, there's a new edition coming out, 11th edition. We're seeing it start to pop off in our Discord quite a lot. People are asking a lot of questions of, hey, why? Why is it so different? A lot of actually very good advice has been going on in there. We're also seeing a lot, you're going to see with the change in the edition, a lot more lore changes, a lot of great stuff in there around that. We really do love our Discord because it's been molded very well into a great place for advice and great place for kind of knowledge gaining, which is the most important thing for me.
For new
players. Yes, because if you are new to this and you kind of just want to ask some questions, get some advice on where to go, come on in. There's also is the Ask John and Brad channel. That's there. And we usually have one fun channel. This month was What's Wrong with Toledo? We'll see what next month is. There was a lot wrong with Toledo.
Garbage.
Unfortunately, I did discover the whole...
It's garbage whirlwind.
I did find out. Someone did post, apparently, it's illegal to hunt whales on Sunday in Ohio, but that turned out to not be true. That was that's an urban legend. I was like, oh, that was too bad.
I did not send you something specifically because I didn't want it on the Discord this week.
Yeah, Brad called me and said he was at lunch with a friend of his, and there was a windstorm, and the windstorm knocked down a trash can, and then it created what was in effect a garbage tornado outside of a store. And the viewpoint of everyone inside was like, yeah, that tracks for Toledo.
It's not what I was going to take a video. I don't want this to be the meme.
I would have posted it on a YouTube channel. Are you kidding me? I would put it everywhere. But the problem is everyone had been like, oh my God, where is that? And they said, oh, it's in Toledo. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Fair enough. All right. But let's get to Vrax. So where were we? The 88th.
Hold on. Because I want to get the positive mojo going, because the 88th, everything looked great. They finally pushed in. They're like, we got this. We're taking the whole thing. I mean, there's a little problem with roaming Nurgle and, you know, some Titans and stuff. But like, I mean, that's no big deal. We'll probably handle that by the weekend. And then, well, no.
Yeah, there's some other stuff going on. So they're settled pretty well. They're sitting kind of outside the Citadel. But back on Terra, this debate is going on. And it's been going on for a while. They're 13 years into what's supposed to be a 12-year war. And the gains that they're making are almost being countered by the losses. They are at final gates.
Harsh. These are
Yeah, big. And this is... And I like it because they also call out that no one's even sure how many... Well, it's Kriegs, by the way. How many Kriegs are dead? Is it 6 million? Is it 8 million? No one's really sure. Because they keep making more Kriegs, but there's a lot dead. And the problem is now Chaos Space Marines are present.
They are in force. We have the Alpha Legion kind of showing up and dibbling dabbling. Now we have multiple gods. Yeah. Chaos incursions are now happening here, which is a big...
But what's also occurring is rival factions back on Terra are starting to rise up about who's best suited or who's, you know, deserves to handle the final portion of the battle. It could be the glory. It's a little bit of convoluted stuff. Some of this is glory. Some of this is just old rivalries.
It's also who's in charge. They're taking a big stance.
Yeah.
I should be running this. Everybody agrees that it should be dealt with. No one agrees who's supposed to be running it.
And one of the main ones is Ordo Hereticus, who feel quite strongly about this, because don't forget, it was one of their own who started it. So their viewpoint is we should be allowed to finish it, because Sisters of Battle, or Sisters, Sisters were taken prisoner and in theory killed.
A lot of them are taken prisoner. It was like
12.
It's a lot for Sisters.
Really? In a Sisters cast, how many Sisters are there in the galaxy, Brad?
Whoa. It's a lot of prisoners taken. I didn't say a lot of prisoners, Sisters killed. But that happens all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to say there's like 7 quadrillion Sisters in the galaxy. They could just conquer the galaxy with them. But the issue is, the Ordo Hereticus are going like, our guy started this. We want to be the ones who, you know, finish it. The old, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out of it. That was where they were coming from. At the same time, the Adeptus Administratum have been waging the war. Their viewpoint is like, hey, we've been doing it the whole time. Why is anyone else getting involved? This has been our war. Screw you.
The best counter for this, which is what the Ordus Melius eventually says, is, you've been in charge for 13 years. How's it going? Which is...
They're getting there.
Which is...
They're getting there. Yeah. The big one, though, is Ordo Melius. So Ordo Melius and this guy, this inquisitor named Hector Rex, shows up. And Hector Rex is a very well-seasoned, very experienced member of the Ordo Melius. And he had been consulting with a warp seer who had read the tarot cards, how they wrote it in the book. I didn't even want to put that in our notes. Tarot cards.
I'm pausing on this one because this is the dumb thing. He reads the tarot cards and Vrax is going to fall to chaos if something wasn't done. We have to send the Melius. Yeah, man, I could have done a Google search on this. Hey, I just Googled, will this planet fall to chaos if there's a crap ton of chaos on it and no one does anything about it?
It's not even a, this isn't even a hey Siri. It's more like, hey, there's a bunch of demons there. Yeah, What happens if we don't do anything about it? It'll get worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird. It's going to fall. No, it's a tarot card reading. He figured it out. You're like, no, man, there's chaos there. If you don't do anything about chaos, it will fall to chaos.
It's like a doctor you go to. You've got a wound that's oozing pus. You should take antibiotics. How did you know that?
It's more like you have a nail in your head. We should take the nail out.
Yeah. Good God. But anyway, so Hector Rex goes to this conclave of Scaris and says to them, hey, I want you to grant me the right to take over Vrax. And he brings with him this, you know, seer. And they do, because they do effectively realize this is a big deal. If this world, because the seer tells them, if this world isn't handled correctly, it will turn into a demon world, meaning there will be a demon world just outside the Eye of Terror, allowing for a staging point for all future Black Crusades. So we're going to call that one bad. That's a bad thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So Inquisitor's granted this. Meanwhile, back on Vrax, Inquisitor Kagori has no idea about any of this. He just gets a note saying, hey, you've got a visitor, and it's the Inquisition. So he takes the meeting because he's not an idiot.
He doesn't go, I've got time next week on Thursday. He's like, yeah, looks like I've got some time right now.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hang out. And he comes in and he meets Inquisitor Rex, who goes, yeah, I'm taking over. And not like soon, like right now. And he does explain to Kagori, he's not a jerk in this meeting. He explains to him that the people of Vrax are basically giving themselves over to the gods of chaos.
In a massive way, too. It's not like there's a couple hidden cults. No, like just the population is just full on.
Yeah, because so far on the surface, there have been some demonic fights, like when they were going into the Death Guard attack. Death Guard, I guess it was just the
forces are normal.
Yeah. But the issue is that what's really going on is inside the Citadel, what Rex knows is there's legitimate demons just walking around in there. And that's not going to be ideal. So Kagori goes, yeah, all right, have at it, and leaves, which is probably great for him because it's like, look, this isn't going to go well.
No.
Now, around the same time, everything on Vrax is getting weird. Like the storm getting really intense.
I love that you put weird here. You're like, you're underselling it so low.
All right. I do like, because they talk about, and this is the order that they write it in the book. It's like things are getting weird. So the storm's getting more intense. All right. I mean, I live in the Midwest now. That happens.
Describe it as just wild lightning storms demolishing stuff. It's not like, it was rainy. Mm.
I've been in monsoon season. That's what I'm saying. I've been through a monsoon season. But the next one's big. The dead start rising up. All right, we're going to call that one big. That's probably important. But I like the last one. There's a second sun.
Yeah. Also, seems bigger than all of those. Also, didn't really say weird. I would say, what's happening? Yeah.
So Inquisitor Rex, though, had a plan, and it was quite shiny. He brought the Grey Knights with him. And the Red Hunters. So he brought all of the Astartes who are meant to do this stuff.
Yep.
And he also, though, before he went there, wasn't done. He knew there was a problem. So he'd sent out another note to basically a bunch of people saying, hey, Dark Angels and Red Scorpions, you guys want to take a round two at this?
This is still my favorite part of this, because he sends a note out with the, I'm not mad, but... I find it a little odd that you would leave when the fighting wasn't done. I'm not even mad about it. I'm just.
Oh, you took it that way. I took it more as like, I thought you guys weren't a bunch of pussies and wanted to finish the fight. That's more what he wrote. It was like, I didn't realize that the Dark Angels were weak sauce and would just bail on a fight.
Yeah, I thought he was shaming come back. Like, hey, man. I don't know if like maybe your scanners were off, but there was a crap ton of fighting still happening when you left. I just assumed that maybe you pulled a hammy or something and you couldn't fight anymore.
He sends that note out. Now on Vrax, though, that he gets there, he's got to do something. And first thing he does is he shifts all the command two Inquisitors. He brought 38 Inquisitors with
him. Which is a bananas amount of Inquisitors.
It's so many Inquisitors, by the way. Like, I actually can't fit that many in my... What is the army I'm not allowed to run? You won't let me run anymore? My
Imperial Agents.
My Imperial Agents army. The McTest is also technically illegal to run 38. But anyway. But he brings 38 of them. And this is actually, by the way, a good thing. This is not one of these things. When we talk about the Inquisition, it's always like, oh, they did this thing. And a lot of people be like, oh, is that a mean thing? No, this is smart because he's about to go engage pretty heavily with the forces of chaos. The Krieg don't know anything about this. So you might as well have the person leading it be kind of an expert in that. So now all of the Krieg companies are being led by an Inquisitor. This is really smart. This increases their odds of victory. The second thing he does is he looks at it and goes, so we've got the Citadel surrounded, right? Yeah, check. Right. But if I look over to the right a little bit, what's going on over there? Oh, that's just a roaming section of Chaos Titans and Nurgle Warbands. And they're just behind us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, there's a full garden of Nurgle.
Yeah. And that's just behind. So we're going to attack and just behind us is all that. Yeah.
What could happen?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a no. So he decides to just go, before we do the Citadel thing, we're going to go do that thing, and makes a new plan. And the plan, of course, involves artillery. Now, little problem with this plan. It starts off like all artillery plans, because again, this whole thing's World War I. We're going to have this great creeping bombardment. We're going to bomb the hell out of Nurgle. And we're going to sneak up behind them and we're going to come into them. And the Nurgle, they bombard Nurgle and Nurgle goes, all right,
cool.
They bombard back with poison.
Well, and also Nurgle poison. Gross.
Yeah. Well, corroding, it was the poison everything that was on the planet that Nurgle then enhanced. So it was not ideal. So this whole plan of we're going to bomb them and then we're going to charge into them kind of falls apart because, you know, they can't. It's poison. But Krieg throw on Krieg masks.
It wasn't even poison. It was poison with acid, effectively. You couldn't even get through it. You just went, oh, the infantry just die when they move into it.
Yeah. But what I did like is they then go, all right, bring the armor. So they bring in the tanks and they start going in. And as they get in, they discover that just for shits and giggles, Nurgle had raised all of the dead.
Yep.
Like both sides, by the way. The Krieg were now driving over former Krieg with their tanks. And so there's like tens or hundreds of thousands of zombies. They're just having to go through.
At the point in time.
Yeah.
So
followed by Plague Marines, followed by Beasts of Nurgle, followed by Chaos Spawn. And there's a whole, like, multiple paragraphs in the book about the Death Riders of Krieg being helpful here. And I'm not going to talk about that because I hate horses.
You know what? I, however, will talk about that.
They're useless.
Because you know what forces turned the tide and started to harass the positions of the Nurgle forces and made it so that they didn't get surrounded
in armor. They just said it was covered in poison. That was acidic. And somehow, the horses ran too fast.
I'm just saying. I know we said it, but the book says,
hi ho, silver away. The poison won't be an issue this time. No.
The Death Riders of Krieg were victorious and vital to this operation, John.
They ran to Scabby Therax, the great unclean one.
Yeah. I mean, Scabby basically had something to say about it, but he's also.
Yeah, that was it. It was going great till Scabby Therax showed up and was giggling at them.
Well, he was also giggling at the tanks because he was soccer tossing tanks.
It was for sure. Yeah, he was throwing tanks into tanks, which was awesome. But then the Grey Knights took offense to that and decided to show up and go, yeah, no. And the Grey Knights just warped in around Scabby Therax. And while he was giggling away, they just banished him to the warp and were like, all right, and grabbed the Krieg and were like, now go keep killing demons. Back at it. It was a very enjoyable moment. So yeah, the Inquisitor Rex, though, this is successful. He now has effectively controlled everything on the planet except for the Citadel. And this kind of looked good from the outside. Meanwhile, because we're going to do the Transformers hard cut to the inside, something kind of fun has occurred on the inside.
Does it mean chaos being chaos and fighting each other?
Oh, it's awesome. This is a fun one. So On the inside, you've got a bunch of different Chaos Warbands, and some of them are Khorne Warbands. And this is written before we ever had Angron. This is written before Angron had come back and reunified the world leaders. So this is a really cool time for Khorne. So for people who played back in this edition, you would add like Khorne Warbands to your Chaos forces. That's the way it worked in this era. So this makes more sense if you think about it from that perspective of it wouldn't be like, oh, the world eaters are there. There kind of were no world eaters at this stage in the lore. In effect, like they existed, but it was all warbands, right? So one of the warbands here of Khorne was led by a guy named Lord Zufor. And Zufor came to Vrax to slaughter and to kill. And with the forces surrounded, you know, in the Citadel, a lot of the warbands were like piecing out and running away. Zufor didn't think that was cool. So he does what any Lord of Khorne would do. He starts challenging all the Chaos Lords one by one to a fight.
And he and he put on, I can only imagine, were bedazzled boots of mighty ass kicking because he starts thunder doming people.
Oh, the first one he goes to is the head of the Berserkers, who's named Scalathrax, and beats the piss out of him. And then goes, all right. Then he goes over to another one and tells them, actually, that one he didn't conquer. He tells them, hey, cool, if you guys join me, I'll help you summon a Bloodthirster. And they were like, all right,
we'll join you.
Yeah. But what I like about Zufor, he's clever. First thing he does is he unifies every single Khorne warband behind him. And then he goes to the non-Khorne warbands and goes, so here's the deal. All of the Khorne warbands are behind me. And we are all currently sitting in an enclosed space. So
with not a lot to do. So yeah. I've got some ideas on how things should go around here. Yeah.
I think you should be on listen to Zufor team. You don't have to, but again, enclosed space and all of the Khorne warbands are with me.
One person didn't bend the knee though, and it cracks me up on it because the Alpha Legion in Arcos. He was like,
yeah,
well, I'm not going to do what you say, but I'm going to do what Alpha Legion does and have an overly complicated plot to weave in something.
Well, Zufor goes to Arcos and goes, you know the deal. It's, you know, chain axe or bend the knee. And Arcos goes, option three. And Zufor goes, I'm listening. And Arcos goes, here's the deal. You really want to kill that Zaphan guy, right? And Zufor goes, I do want to kill him. That'd make me really happy. And Arcos goes, cool. You can't get in there. His doors are very locked and it'll take you a while. But they'll let me in. So I'll make you a deal. I don't bend the knee and you don't chop my head off. And I kind of just go and leave and do whatever I want to do. And I'll unlock the door and let you go do whatever you want to Zaphan. And Zufor goes, all right, deal.
I love the knock on the door. Who is it? Definitely not a guy wanting to let a bunch of berserkers inside here. Oh, yeah. Cool. As long as it's not that, come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. Opens the door. Well, actually, not only that, they open the door. And as the door opens, a bunch of the Alpha Legion who were inside killed a bunch of the bodyguards, too, because that's what Alpha Legion would do, of course. And Zufor just comes barreling in. He doesn't kill Zaphan, though. He just takes him prisoner because he tells Zaphan, you're the last person I'm going to kill. That was actually his words to Zaphan and puts him in a dungeon. But he does track down Mayman and crushes his skull with his hand.
Yeah. Well, by the way, he deserved it. That guy was, he's basically worm tongue.
Yeah, that's fine.
He just is.
So now we jump back to the outside.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Starting a business is a massive challenge. You have an idea, but before you can ever get to doing that idea, you have to do 100 other tasks that are not that idea. One of the biggest challenges can be the commerce side of a business. I learned this the hard way, but finding a quality partner for your business is one of the most important things you can do. Companies that will actually support you as you grow, and more importantly, help you grow. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, and 10% of all e-commerce inside the US. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. What if you get stuck? Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try to figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place, making your life easier and your business operations smoother. Start your business today with the industry's best partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/lore. Go to shopify.com/lore. That's shopify.com/lore. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go it alone. About 4 years ago now, I had to move into the hospital so that my young child could get a bone marrow transplant, and it was and forever will be the hardest thing I have ever done. Thankfully, it was both a success, and at the time, I had a really great support network around myself. But that moment kind of forever changed my perspective on health and longevity, and I spent a lot of time suffering from anxiety about my own mortality and the mortality of those that I love. And I've used therapy on quite a few occasions to help me navigate that anxiety, to not just quell it, but to kind of understand it and live better with it. With BetterHelp, you can be matched with quality therapists with care and reliability. BetterHelp does the initial matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs, and their 12 plus years of experience in industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with over 30,000 therapists and having served over 6 million people globally. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone help you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Back on the outside, Inquisitor Rex is ready to go.
The final assault.
Yeah, but this one's going to take a while. So I'm going to capture the Citadel, and I've got this really aggressive plan. I'm going to bombard it with enough artillery that it just overloads the void shields. We're not going complicated at this point. The issue is that they only go down for a little bit. And then so once they go in, you have to kind of run in, obviously, with the Krieg.
Lightning strike.
Come yeah, and then some drop pods with Red Hunters. And then we're going to, you know, find the generators and blow them up. The problem, though, is just as he's about to do this, he gets a very fun, I don't know, telegram.
He gets
probably not the singing kind.
He gets red tape is what he gets.
It's great.
Hey,
so he gets a note.
Can we get more bureaucracy put in here?
It's worse than bureaucracy. It's actually kind of funny. So what he gets is he gets a note. And the note says the 88th Siege Army is to withdraw from the front line. Dozens of the regiments are being transported off-world to other sectors because the war on Vrax is going so well that they don't need such a large force there. That's a small force could take care of all of this. And Inquisitor Rex knows what this is. This is the other Ordos just screwing with him. They didn't want him to get the glory of this success. So they decided to hamper him massively. So even if he does succeed, basically their two points, either make him fail, then they'll take over and win, or
put somebody else,
or make it, yeah, or make it so if he does succeed, it's almost a Pyrrhic level of victory, so he doesn't get any actual glory for it. And to his credit, Rex does try, and like he actually petitions the Lords of Terra himself, and yeah, that fails. Not only does it fail, but actually his emissaries that he sends the Lords of Terra after petitioning Lord Terra all get assassinated. So he realizes pretty quickly, all right, I got to do this the hard way. But, you know, enemy still surrounded. I still do have the Red
last
Hunters
13 years.
And the Grey Knights and a good amount of Krieg. He was able to keep a good chunk of the Krieg, but not all of it. The problem, though, is that this whole plan he had of blow up the Void Shield, go in, do all this stuff is the Citadel was surrounded by a bunch of like natural, like kind of gullies and ravines, which makes a ton of kill zones everywhere. In fact, it's said that some of the ravines are so high, you actually couldn't go in there with armor. You had to go in on foot.
You know what it looks like ideal. From the pictures, though? It looks like the Fortress of the Thundercats. That's exactly what it looks
like. It actually does look like the Fortress of the Thundercats. Yeah, that is the depressing part. You look at it and you go, really? Way to go. For a company so litigious on IP violation, just saying.
I thought I saw Lion-O peeking out of a window.
Exactly. It's like, oh, what was the Thundercat who was the engineer? I'll never remember that. Panthera, was it? Good job.
He was the Panther guy.
I'm lucky they're older than me. This is how you can remember this crap.
Thundercats. Oh!
It was not a good cartoon.
It was fantastic. But
it was not. All right. But they decide to still go with the original plan. We're just going to overwhelm them. We're going to hit them with everything. Because under Rex's idea was, these guys probably don't have much left in them. We've whittled them down. We'll just overwhelm them. The defenses will fall. It's still chaos. They'll do what chaos does.
Well, also what chaos does a lot, especially if you're Alpha Legion, they plan for all of this because remember your super fast lightning assault? Well, you instead had to deal with random bureaucracy for a while. So you didn't do your super fast lightning assault. You talked about your super fast lightning assault for a while.
Yeah. And so what happens is they go and they try and do it. They bombard, they do all this stuff. The issue is the kill zones are just too extreme. As they push in, all of the forces get bogged down. Even the drop pod assault from the Red Hunters, they time it wrong, basically. The infantry are not able to get in position to support them. So they just drop in with no support and a bunch of Alpha Legion, in this case, looking down at them going, well, that wasn't even hard. Heavy bolters. And problem solved. So
just in case
after a week.
Hold on. Just in case you're wondering, though. A ton of Kriegsmen are dying here. Just in case you were like, hey, man, are we still just throwing Kriegsmen into a wood chipper?
Oh, yeah.
Constantly, never ending. Oh, yeah, that's the whole time. That's happening. Don't worry about it.
So this goes on for a week. And after a week, Rex goes, all right, this isn't going to work. He pulls back. All right, we're going to try this again. The next attempt, he decides, maybe we do this more step by step. He decides to move from a breach and clear to more of a breach and hold. How about we just kind of take pieces of it and work from there? And he decides we're going to target one of the main gates and I'm just going to bomb it until it doesn't exist anymore. And then I'll use that rubble as a fortified position to stage the next assault through, which, by the way, doesn't make a lot of sense, but whatever, we're going to go with it. And he decides to bring his Titans into the fray this time because, spoiler alert, the defenders don't have any Titans.
Also,
should have been done this in the first round.
I was just going there. I'm like, remember the time you had Titans? You should have, about the time you're killing another million or so Kriegsmen, and then you bring the Titans in. Someone had to go, I'm pretty loyal, man.
Yeah.
But
so the first one,
also,
yeah, the first one
brought the Titans, it would seem better.
Yeah. First one was, hey, infantry, keep running at it endlessly after a week. It didn't work. The second one, how about we just shoot at it with our big guns and then we move the Titans up. And then when the enemy brings in armor, the Titans blow up the armor and then the infantry goes and holds the position. Yeah. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Success. So now they've actually got their first little beachhead of, okay, we've got this. And at the same time, he gets a phone call. It's the Red Scorpions. They've been shamed into coming back and they decide, all right, fine. We're back. We'll finish what we started. And they come in and tell him, all right, what do you need us to do? And Rex says, I got a great idea for you. We need you to do a bunch of lightning assaults all over the place. Because the problem is that the defenders are too quick for us. Effectively, the Rex's forces are Kreeg, so they're still human speed. The defenders are demons and chaos marines. They're just too quick. So wherever he gets in, the counterattack comes in too fast. So he wants to have the Red Scorpions help him do something where they can take something and then move at space marine speed. This way they can actually hold it. But he needs to spread them out a little bit. So the Red Scorpions are going to come in elsewhere. They're going to come in from the east and the south with some support from the Kreeg because we're always going to sacrifice Kreeg.
Come on now. We have to give so many props on this because this is like Crady's 80s action movies style in how they roll in.
This is the most space marine-y, stupid, but awesome.
It was so awesome.
It is awesome and dumb at the exact same time. So we'll talk about what they do, and I'll shit on it in a second.
It was
Red Scorpions.
You can shit on it. I'm talking about what they do. A bunch of Vanguard vets with jump pack assaults jump out of a Thunderhawk, which is basically moving at max speed. And I'm assuming everybody did either a superhero landing or kick somebody while they were flying out of it and did a pose, like shot somebody while punching another guy. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, the gates have guns on them, by the way. It's like, look, the guy's jumping out of the ship. Boop, boop, boop.
Next thing you know, you didn't like the plot in The Expendables, because this is exactly
what I did. The movie was terrible. Holy God. Here's how much I didn't like the plot of The Expendables. I saw it was coming out and went, yeah, and I'm not even going to watch that. I knew better. Commando is good. Those movies are terrible.
Stallone jumped out of a Thunderhawk.
Look, I'm just going to say it. I don't like really any Stallone movies, with the exception of Demolition Man, and only the non-fighting parts of it. The whole three shells.
Like
Rocky? And Rocky's terrible. Taco Bell winning.
The crack cocaine.
Look, the best part of Demolition Man is the whole thing where Taco Bell wins the fast food wars. That's the whole thing. It's that entire element is the only element of Demolition Man I like. The rest of it's garbage. The three shells thing, I still do that to friends when they come over to my house. I'll hide the toilet paper and put three shells in the bathroom. To this day, still funny. Anyway, but
I'm about to over the top you, turn the head on backwards.
Yeah, but oh God, Stallone sucks. Anyway, but... They jump out of the airplane and land, but at the same time, at the other gate, they decide Land Raider party, because this was also an era where Land Raiders were still halfway good in the game, and just drive Land Raiders and Rhinos straight at it and go, all right, how many guns you got? Not enough. And just pin the defenders between these two assaults. And while they're doing this, Rex is elsewhere, by the way, leading from the front. He and the Krieg, the Red Hunters, and the Grey Knights hit the main gate. And this fight is awesome. They hit the main gate. So the Red Scorpions are elsewhere. They're drawing the forces. They're jumping out of airplanes. They're using this stuff. The main gate's a lot funnier because they basically get to it. They blow it open. A bunch of Krieg run through. And the gate opens and... demons of Khorne come pouring out the other side.
And it's also
bloodletters, flesh hounds. My favorite one is possessed.
Scorpions.
Brass scorpions come out. And I just love the imagery of a bunch of Kriegsmen running in. And you know they don't run out. It's just a bunch of blood and a brass scorpion coming through. But at which point the Grey Knights just kind of like do shoulder shrug and go, all right, and just wander into the demons and just
yourself if the brass scorpion pauses for a moment and goes, seriously, dude, stop hitting me with a shovel. What is even happening right now?
Why
are you doing this?
This is like, do I still get points for killing you when it's this easy? Ugh. But what happens next is tough for me. All right. While this fight, the main gate is going on, all these demons of Khorne are going. There's a reason all these demons of Khorne are there. A meteor lands in the middle of it. And by meteor, it's not a meteor. It's a bloodthirster named Angareth.
This model is so awesome. It is
huge. Oh, it's an amazing model. Yes.
Oh, also costed 888 points.
Did it really?
Yeah, they did all of them. Scabby was 777. He was 888. Yeah. He was awesome. Also, one of the first demons to have a 2-up save.
Angareth lands. He picks up a tank and throws it at the Grey Knights. He then, he cuts another Land Raider in half with his sword and starts just ripping Grey Knights apart, just shredding everything. Because this is an era, don't forget, bloodthirsters in the lore are like Terminators in the lore. They're badass. And he's just ripping.
Is the number one heavyweight champ of bloodthirsters.
Yeah. And he's just going
monster.
And he's wrecking the shop to the point where he's actually basically killing all of the Grey Knights. until he gets to Artus, who's, I think, that's brother Captain Artus, runs forward to meet him. And Angrath is just throwing everything he has at him, and Artus is blocking it. And he uses his psychic powers to reduce the beast, and Angrath just gets angrier and busts him and kills him. That's so brother Captain Artus no longer exists because Angrath got angry at Artus trying to use psychic powers on him, which is accurate for Demons of Khorne.
Well, they're also used to have, remember, the even in the game, the Grey Knights had abilities to lessen the power of demons.
But unfortunately,
maledictions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, that whole thing I said about bloodthirsters and the lore being cool, they also sometimes become super uncool and lame. And that's what's going to happen right now. After a bloodthirster kills a bunch of Grey Knights, rips apart with its hands a few tanks, Inquisitor Rex in his power armor squares up on it. And Rex has a super power sword, a holy sword. It's called that. And he severs the bloodthirster's connection to the warp.
He should have golf swung into another dimension.
Yeah, it does the whole, he stabs him in the chest while the bloodthirster's backhanding him and, banishes Angrath back to the... I'm not even honoring this whole fight with the story because it's just so stupid. It's so annoying. It's just, because the thing about Inquisitors, yes, they are very, very psychically powerful. They're wearing power armor. It's a psychically powered sister of battle. And the brother captain of the Grey Knights just got wrecked by this thing. And he's like, I got it. Because my sword is special. Shut up. Anyway. It just is what it is. All right. But good news is the Citadel is breached because the demon is banished. The battle is all but won. So now who's going to show up? The Dark Angels. It's time. At the very end of the party, basically.
Well, the Angels of Absolution showed up.
Well, it's still the Dark Angels because it's fun. It is because the Dark Angels were on Cadia at this point. So the Dark Angels got the message. They were on Cadia going like, yeah, we really can't leave this place, guys. But we'll send the Angels of Absolution, but they had a condition. And the condition was, we still want that Lord Arcos guy. And we're taking him back to the Rock for interrogation.
Hold on. We'll share... all the information. Oh,
they promised the Inquisition. We will share all of our information we gather. Yeah. Bullshit. And this was a non-negotiable thing. So Rex debates it and goes, well, look, I kind of wanted this too, but you are Space Marines. Fine, go ahead. And the Angels of Absolution brought the heat, though. I mean, they turned this final assault to an 11 because the Citadel has no void shield anymore. So it couldn't stop a bombardment or a drop pod assault. But what it had inside of it was just nightmares. Well,
created a warp rift. They just have.
Yeah.
It's a full-on, more than a portal. This is not a portal. This is a full-on, you have a brick in reality.
Well, that's the thing. To people who maybe don't understand, demons can't walk around the materium without a connection to the warp. Unless you build something really significant. And that's what happened inside the Citadel. So normally when a demon is kind of present, it's not present for very long. It has to have either a ritual or something holding it there.
You have to kill. This a ton was, of killing for Khorne, tons of plague, pestilence for Nurgle, you know, unbelievable sensations and excess going on for Slaanesh, you know.
Right. One was so extreme that they're just wandering around fully connected. You were effectively in the warp when you were inside the Citadel.
So not only do they walk around. Nightmare fuel, by the way.
Yeah. And they're full powered too. So this is not an ideal spot. So this final assault's going to be tough. The Angels of Absolution were like, yeah, we really don't care. And they decide to just go, all right, we're coming in hot. At the same time, Hades breaching drills came in from the bottom to come in the other way, bringing regular infantry and armor columns are coming in from elsewhere. Land Raiders, they decide basically on 1, 2, 3, go, lethal weapon style. They hit every single piece of this citadel from above, from below, and from the sides. But I want to start with the Angels of Absolution because it is hilarious.
It's also the Dark Angels come across pretty badass in this one.
Oh, this is great. So they come in there to grab the Alpha Legion. Because remember, last time they were there, Lord Arcos surprised Azrael and almost killed him. Except the what, interrogator chaplain? Yeah, Balfagor. Guess who's back? That's who came with the Angels of Absolution.
Also, he's fairly motivated.
Right? Yeah, he's in a bit of a mood. So he came there to basically just get Lord Arcos. And we learned something. It turns out that when you take a Crozius to the face, followed by the top of your skull, it's not ideal. And Lord Arcos
my favorite,
didn't do well.
This is not the main event that you wanted because this fight was over so fast. He showed up and went, yeah. Hey, it's Arcos. Bam, bam. Done. Yeah. You're like, man, we paid for this.
Yes. I think it's like two sentences in the entire thing of like,
he walks in.
I think Lord Arcos. Yeah. Lord Arcos, I think he may have killed a different guy and Belfagor runs over to him, Crozius, and then turns to the medic and says, don't let him die. I'm going to interrogate him. And then meanwhile, the rest of the Angels of Absolution are doing the same thing of like non-mortally wounding a bunch of Alpha Legion guys. And then they just grab them and bail. Meanwhile, in orbit, remember that giant battleship that was there from last time?
The Anarchy's Heart.
Yeah, the Angels of Absolution, I guess, knew it was connected to Alpha Legion, and they thought that wasn't cool. So while all this is going on the surface, they decided to go hunt that thing down too, because they knew Lord Arcos would try to use it to escape. So they brought with them their own battleship called the Liberatory Delictium, which sounds like a dessert.
They brought the Baba Ganoush.
Yeah. And this time they decide to use the Chaos's inability to use scanners, because that is just the theme of all space battles in all of 40K is scanners don't work. They put a bunch of scouting craft out to start searching for the Anarchy's Heart.
And apparently they use the old Mongol trait of, oh no, we're running away because you guys are going to cut us down. Oh, we led you into the main forest.
Yeah. And the second the Anarchy's Heart powers up, the Delictium goes flank speed into it. And again, much like the battle between Balfagor and Lord Arcos, it's not a long battle. The Delictium just goes, cool, all guns fire, and blows the thing to smithereens. So Anarchy's Heart just stops.
Not existing. Put their shields on because they get immediately wrecked.
Yeah. And I did like that on the surface, the whole goal of the Angels of Absolution was to collect as many prisoners as possible for interrogation. This was not the case in orbit. It was blow this thing up, make sure it never exists again. Yeah. So the Anarchy's Heart ceases to exist. And now the Angels of Absolution go, all right, we're done now. Don't worry. We're totally going to send you the tape of the recording any day now. It's coming. Just it's
you didn't get my email. It's an attachment.
It's in the mail. I swear. Oh yeah, check with UPS. The tracking number is 123. Anyway, in another part of the Citadel, the one I like a lot more is the Krieg, because of course it's the Krieg bust through the floor. So they brought Hades drills, which is something we used to all have in the game. They were super fun. It was a transport that you could actually
drill through the ground.
Deep strike with, and they were fun. I mean, they weren't as good as what's the Space Marine drill that I still have like two of? Alan has like 11 of them.
He's got 11 of everything.
I know those things were great. But anyway, the Hades Breach was still cool. So the thing about the Citadel is like most Imperial fortresses, the majority of it actually sits below ground.
Yeah, it goes
below. So rather than go in from the top and try to fight your way down where it's defended, they were like, we'll just go into the bottom. Because also, that's where all the power supplies and all the controls, the shield sit.
Except for the fact that it's full on event horizon. It is the war down there.
Yeah, that's the best part. So the Krieg tunnel in, come popping out. There are no defenses down here, by the way. There's no fortified positions. There's no troops. There's no pillboxes. There's just demons everywhere. And so the Krieg get out, look around at just endless demons and go, all right, shovel and grenade time, and just begin working their way through it, going, you know, doot, 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 Krieg style. And I couldn't have been happier because it's Krieg. It's just Krieg doing Krieg things of, oh, I've emerged into a realm of nightmares. Meh, whatever.
You're like, cool. No big deal. I didn't even notice, actually.
Yeah. What day is it? Wednesday? All right. So I guess that's what Wednesday is next. Elsewhere, you have Zufor. Zufor is losing his mind.
I love everything about this, though. He wants direct people, and obviously losing is not on the table for him. And Corrin's happy because blood's being exploded, but he's not real big on the loss. Zufor says, well, I could just rock out, you know, and get out of here through this portal. However, he does the, I'm going to make a really current reference. So just like in Heat with Robert De Niro, he could get away, but instead he goes to kill Wayne Grove. But he could have left, but instead he's like, I got something I want to do, which is have a quick talk to Zaphod with, you know, that is totally spot on with what happened here. Come on. Give me my Heat mojo.
It's like 20 years ago.
It's probably more. It's significantly more, I think.
Oh, God. Was Heat in the 90s? I don't know. Might have been. Okay,
1995. I only reference current movies.
31 years, Brad. 31 years. Good job.
Oh, I didn't mean to I didn't mean to spoil Heat for anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. I have to go back and edit that. Anyway. So Zufor goes and grabs Zaphod and just basically drags him into the dungeon where there's a bunch of sorcerers of Nurgle just doing whatever, and throws him into the middle of them, who all look at him and go, cool. And they convert him into a chaos spawn. Oof,
ultimate finish.
Just in time for the Grey Knights to show up. And the Grey Knights do what they do to the chaos spawn. They kill it and banish it into the warp, meaning Zaphod doesn't die. Zaphod gets converted to a chaos spawn. She's
tormenting you forever.
And yeah, and goes to the warp to be tormented for all eternity. Anyway, Zufor also runs away and gets back to the warp. With this, the forces of Inquisitor Vex just pour through the Citadel. They are going to kill everything. But one more thing happens, which is just classic, horrible 40K. They come upon a very weird find. There are six prisoners that they find that are just super messed up. And it's the Sisters of the Argent Shroud that Zaphod imprisoned.
But it's
18 years earlier.
Set it up, though. The Sisters of the Argent Shroud, to give sisters credit, have been being tormented by the forces of chaos, actually been thrown into hell.
They are effectively living in hell for at least 12 of the 18 years.
And they've been fighting with the power of the Emperor subsiding them. And you think, man, Hector Rex going to say, hold on, is Hector Rex going to say, you're the power of the Emperor's
Hold up. They are pretty messed up. They are blind. They are crazy. They cannot recognize anything. They can barely speak. So they are, like you say, they're holding up. They're not like, oh, hey, guys, nice to see you. We've been barely holding out. They're just mumbling piles of nothing.
Not possessed by chaos. I mean, that's a pretty
There big is deal. That. Yeah, because their faith did save them, but not from the Inquisition.
Also, does he put them out of their misery? Does he go, I will give you a clean death for everything that you've had? Nah.
No, he captures them and transports them to an Inquisition prison.
To interrogate them. Yeah.
When I say Inquisition prison, I'm not making up that's kind of what John said. That's what it says in the book. He takes them out of the one prison and puts them in the Inquisition prison so that, quote, they can be interrogated so that they can figure out anything that they might know about the forces of chaos. Maybe they'll kill them later. Who knows? Awesome. What a wonderful galaxy. But the final one happens, the final siege happens when Rex and the Grey Knights enter the inner keep. And this is an issue because this inner keep is a warp portal.
Well, it's not even a warp. It's a full rift. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So Zufor and his men, they had escaped. But while they went out, a bunch of chaos came in.
Are you going to give his full name? Because I'm so excited for this one.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Araka Warfiend, the Demon Prince of Khorne. Yeah. Araka Warfiend.
I think you meant to say Araka as Baramael.
Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway.
I like, so there's a you, deep you just principle. Skip that one. You went, yeah, I'm not giving that 14-syllable one a chance.
Yeah, we're good. So it's funny. They come. All right, so a couple little notes here that are funny. Rex basically says to everybody, all right, everyone who's not a Grey Knight, kind of screw off. We have to destroy this portal because this portal will always create a link between the Immaterium and the Materium. And if we don't close it, this world will always be at risk for chaos accessing the world. This world 100% sits within the rift today. Since the fall of Cadia, 100% this world is in the warp right now.
By the way,
but whatever.
Deep in the rift.
Yeah, dead center too. Like, woof, bad, but not important. So he only brings the Grey Knights. They do the whole, like, action. We kick in the door, and there's this demon prince there with a bunch of pieces of corn. And the following story just sucks. So,
it's a brother Captain Stern. It's Stern's a GW legit, fight.
Oh, yeah. Captain Stern is there. So it's just a GW fight. Blah, blah, blah. Stern and the demon prince start fighting. Blah, blah. It's even. Blah, blah, blah. The demon prince gets the upper hand. Blah, blah, blah. Demon prince is about to kill Stern. Blah, blah, blah. A bunch of other Grey Knights see this and intervene. Blah, blah, blah. As the demon prince is distracted, Stern stabs it with his sword. And demon prince gets eliminated. It's just, it's one of the, GW always does this in their writing. We're like, oh, they're fighting. Is he going to win? No, he's going to lose. But at the last second, his friends save him. Yay.
The cool part of this, though, is I do like the fact that because the Grey Knights have force weapons, which are specifically designed to fight things from the warp. And it does make sense that they sent everybody away.
Not in 10th edition, they didn't.
No, not in 9th edition.
Christ. There was a time where, like, for those who don't know, when you play the tabletop, there was a time where if you played demons and you're playing a tournament, like, who am I playing next? Grey Knights. All right, well, I'm losing that one. So where can I get lunch? Because this is going to be a quick game.
Let me roll my leadership check after I hit you with that force weapon. It looks like your guy is gone.
Yeah. This is like, so what happened? That scout banished you to the warp. Cool. But I have Scabby Therax.
Not anymore.
Not now you don't. Yeah, not now you don't.
Get your own.
It was a better era. But all right. But with all this, the war on Vrax has ended. Inquisitor Rex and his armies, they purge the surface of every last rebel, demon, heretic, everything. And this 12-year campaign has ended. It only took 18 years, which, to be fair, is not bad for an Imperium campaign. 18 years on a 12-year plan, that's not that far outside of the realm, is what I'm getting at. But the question is, what do they do with the planet? This thing had been deemed too valuable for Exterminatus. But
now it's
deemed to
not be Exterminatus.
Yeah. Inquisitor Rex looks around and just goes, this world is unsavable. In fact, the system is unsavable. His viewpoint is that the taint of chaos is so strong that even to colonize it is a risk. Basically, what they should have done with Armageddon but refused to do, ta-da, is this thing. So they decide that everyone who fought there, they get moved to other combat zones. Because this isn't, by the way, like the first War of Armageddon, where if you've seen a demon, we have to execute you. We're far enough into the lore where it's like, oh yeah, there's demons everywhere. We'll send them over there to fight more demons. Who cares? And Vrax just gets turned in. They basically turn the whole system into almost a listening post of like, all right, they
quarantine the whole thing, basically. They set up all.
But they have a listening post there. Be like, we're going to quarantine it, but also in case the demons pop up, we're going to do this. And that becomes the story of Vrax, effectively. It's after 18 years of warfare, 18 years of conflict, they go, oh yeah, we could have just blown it up at the onset. At the first time when Zayfan went, I'm having a rebellion, they could have just had one Imperial cruiser like come by, like drop something off and then leave. I'm like, all right, well, that's not an issue. But, you know, 10 million dead Kriegsmen later, here we are. And I like this story because it may seem anticlimactic, but that is kind of what 40K is. It is a galaxy at war, and a lot of the war is kind of pointless. This, you know, Vrax.
You get it.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying at the beginning. We have all of this, and you go, what did we accomplish in the end? Nothing. Less than nothing, actually.
Yeah, and so Vrax is really great because, again, it obviously is an homage to World War One, but the idea is this piece of it's this massive conflict, tons and tons of bloodshed, and it was completely avoidable and unnecessary.
Yeah, we could have just bombed.
That's Vrax.
See you later.
Yeah. So with that, we're done with Vrax now. That was fun for me.
And we're going to go to stuff that Brad wants to talk about.
Now. Yeah. Next week, because Brad is a massive fan of child murder, we're going to go on to...
Don't Night Lord shame me, John. Don't Night Lord shame me.
Yeah. Fun story. We're going to cover Conrad Kurz, who in our first like 7 episodes, we referred to as Conrad Cruz.
Yep.
And the thing is, I can't even edit it out. So I still, to this day, get messages from people saying, hey, you guys know you mispronounced his name. And I have to go... Yeah, I do. And that's on the internet forever. Awesome.
I also did that for about 30-some years.
I'm actually debating just doing our next episode, just doing Conrad Cruz the whole time. Just cause problems.
Until we did that episode, I was calling him Cruz for...
Again, that's why I called him Cruz, because you called him Cruz. And I'm like, I'll just follow. I don't know. Brad reads the books more than I do. I figured you were right. Turns out, by the way, that was the episode where I learned to double-check Brad.
I've been wrong. I'll be wrong again. That is my go-to motto.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to cover Night Lords, finally. I was going to do Iron Warriors, everybody, but I'm waiting on Iron Warriors because GW is dropping a lot of Iron Warriors stuff right now. And I'm building an Iron Warriors army.
They're going to be pretty big into the 11th edition lore. So
yeah. And honestly, I'm building an Iron Warriors army. So since I'm building the army, I'm kind of going to wait a little bit more while I get that done. But yeah, until then, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next week.